Welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We want to take the opportunity to welcome you to the School of the Spirit, where you begin to operate and see and enhance the gift, the calling, and anointing on your life and enable your pastor or apostle, prophet to flow freer in the Spirit by your gifts and your abilities being available unto him for the service and the work of ministry. We want to take a time out to thank you for joining Ever Increasing Word Training Center with Apostle Dr. Thompson, Leroy Thompson Sr., along with Mom Thompson, the royal family, and the whole training center staff. We pray that you will enjoy, be enhanced, and enlightened with the teachings and the training by Ever Increasing Word Training Center. It is my opportunity and joy to be your instructor for the 21-22 school session. And I know that we're going to have some great fun. So let's prepare as we prepare to get ready for the culture of honor. What a study that will enhance your awareness of who you are, what God's anointed you for, and where God can take you in ministry. So we begin our study. So get your Bible, get your pen and pad, take notes, because this is very important for us in order to keep up with our assignment, exams, and our quizzes. Quizzes are taken every week behind the lesson. They're posted the very same day or the next day. So you'll be able to go back and re-listen to the lesson, follow outlines, and be able to prepare yourself for the exams. All of the exams are directly taken from your quizzes. So you will have to make sure that you take good notes, underline even in your books, so that you will be able to follow the teacher or instructor or apostle in where he's teaching. I'm telling you, this will be such a year of the apostolic importation that comes off the life of Apostle Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr. that will help change your perspective and your outlook on the kingdom of God. So let's get ready. I'm excited. I want you to be excited. And let's impart, amen, the culture of honor. In our teaching today, in the culture of honor, our teacher, our author of the book is Pastor Danny Silk out of Reddings, California, who will take us to some enlightenment of what their church, Bethel Church, does and how they operate in ministry, dealing with their culture, dealing with the atmosphere over their ministry, and how they address certain issues in ministry by the grace of God. Restoring, refreshing, and renewing their members in an environment that creates such a culture. We're going to pick up and begin in the introduction of the book of the culture of honor. So let's prepare to go there. In this introduction, we will have several lessons because the very core of this whole book is captured in the introduction. That's why I want to begin there, because once we get the core down, then we can understand all the other main streams that Pastor Danny Silk goes to teach us and train us about the culture of honor. On page 25 in our book, and we want you to take notes because it's going to be very important. I will highlight the very quiz questions that you would need to know. So when I get there, I'll let you know this is number one, this is number two, this is number three, number four, five, or six, or how many questions you will have on your quizzes. So you'll be able to know specifically and exactly the answers to each question that is being asked of you on the quiz as well as the exam. So it should be a fairly easy note-taking, but yet thorough and information that you will need to understand the church, the pastor that you're under, the apostle or prophet that you're under, so you'll be able to identify with the spirit as well as the culture of the leadership. So you'll be able to walk with him. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they first be agreed? And so any ministry that you're a part of, or any culture that you're a part of, there has to be a degree of agreement in order for you to walk in that culture, to continue the fellowship in that environment. There has to be an agreement that comes from leadership or the people that are surrounding and yourself that you all agree with. So he deals with the introduction part as we prepare this. He says, within these pages, you will find what one of my friends called a recipe. He said, what do one of my friends call a recipe? The ingredients in this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. That's number one. A culture is built from a set of beliefs and practices. All cultures, doesn't matter what they are in the world, if it's a culture, a group of people, of certain quality of number of people, quantity of number of people, that believes the same thing, practice the same things, that develops that culture, it comes from the belief and practices. So even in our Christian culture, there are beliefs and practices that we do all the time. It's because we believe the same thing and we practice the teachings. We practice the teachings. A disciple is one who practices the teachings of his teacher. He practices the teachings. The beliefs of the teacher is what he practices because he agrees with the teacher, the instructor. And this is what we're talking about. So keep that in your mind as number one, that the recipe of the culture is its beliefs and its practices. Keep that in front of you. The steps to this recipe combines the ingredients in such a way that they create something powerful and environment. When we practice the teachings, we create an environment. We create an environment. And that comes in every culture, whether it's from Christianity, whether it's for the business world or the politics of our nation, the government structure of our nation, or whether it's from football or baseball. They are cultures. And it is developed by the practice and the beliefs, which develop an environment. And you will notice that in any environment that is developed, the people in that environment think alike. They think alike. Whether you are a VR, you are V, and out camping, the mindset of campers are different from the mindsets of football players or the football environment. Totally different mindset. You catch people who exercise regularly, go jogging, go walking. All of these people practice a certain way of thinking that creates that environment. That creates that environment. Whether it's from being a chef, cooks, they think and believe a certain way. They behave a certain way. They speak a certain way. They develop an environment, which is their culture. So in Christianity, we believe what Jesus says. We believe the word of God is true. That is the way, the truth, and the life. And we believe it. And so therefore, we practice it and we develop an environment. Now, will everybody be able to come in this environment? It's open to all, but all will not accept. Because the culture of this environment think alike. It practices a way of life alike. And that is what develops our environment. And so Christ was very clear to say that light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. They cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And that's why those who reject Christianity never enter the environment, because they don't believe the same thing that we believe. Neither do they think the same thing we think or practice a way of life that we practice. It's because of their belief system. So let's go forward. This is uncommon on the earth today. It is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. Now, number two is that this environment that we have created, it hosts in the presence of God. It hosts the presence of God. What make our environment different from everyone else's environment? God dwells in our environment. God is welcome in our environment. God speaks, God moves in our environment. So number two, we deal about it presents an environment or hosts an environment for the presence of God. When we practice and believe the principles and teachings of Jesus, we develop a culture and environment that hosts the presence of God. This separates us and identifies us from every other culture. From every other culture. And so you are a part of that culture. You are a part of that culture. And so when people don't want to engage fellowship with you, or want to hang out with you or be friends with you, don't even fret yourself about it, because they are not able to enter the culture or the presence of God. They have not accepted the presence of God in their life. But you have, and that is what separates you from everybody else. You are so distinguished, so chosen, so unique, royal priesthood, chosen by God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you ought to be excited, because you are a special people unto God. You are special people unto God. And this is what makes you different from every other culture on the planet Earth, is because of God's presence. The pastor, Sip, goes on to say that we at Bethel Church in Redding, California, call this environment the culture of honor. He said, we call this environment that we fellowship and live in every day the culture of honor. We honor the presence of God. We honor the presence of God. That's why our behavior is different. That's why our love for people are so different. That's why hate cannot dwell in us as believers. Unforgiveness cannot dwell in us as unbelievers, because that is not our culture. That is not our culture. It's not our belief. It's not our practice. And so we are a unique group of people who identify with the will and presence of God, and God as our only source. That's who you are. That's what you're connected to. That's what flows from you. So understand, the environment is identified as the culture of honor. The culture of honor. He said, no means is our recipe is the only one that creates a culture that hosts the presence of God, but we can tell you that it is one that works. He said, we're not the only one. He said, but ours do work, because he says our church practiced this, and we see the evidence and the fruit and the increase of how people embrace, come together, unify, and walk in love and forgiveness and in the grace of God together. And I'm telling you, when you develop such a recipe of love and forgiveness and grace and allow people to grow and expand and their gifts to come alive and to blossom in them, your ministry, the environment is going to be full of the love and grace of God, and people are going to be free to live godly in every aspect. Because we created that environment by practicing the belief system of the teachings of Jesus Christ. When we practice the teachings, we create the environment. Keep that in your mind. See, when God first speaks of honor in the new commandment, he promised that long life will be our reward for honoring our parents. At Bethel, we believe that this command reveals a principle of honor in general. We often say life flows through honor. This is very vital because God did make a covenant with honoring, that when we honor our fathers and our mothers, that our lives will be prolonged upon the land of the living. It was a covenant. So Pastor Sink and all of his members at Redding's Bethel Church in Redding, California, they believe that honor is key to creating a culture. To creating a culture. And that's one of the things you're going to understand through this teaching, is that we're going to talk about honor quite often in identifying the office of honor and how we can express our honor to leadership that creates this environment of reciprocation of what flows from head to the beard down to the skirt. This is how the anointing flows. This is how the grace of God flows, through honor. And he made this statement, life flows through honor. That's number three. Life flows through honor. Okay, so make sure you keep that in your mind. Number one, number two, and number three. Make sure you got them in your notes. Even if you don't have your book as of yet, make sure you take your notes, because they will help you to get through your quizzes and prepare you for your exams by the time your books get to you. So the principle of honor starts or states that accurately honoring or acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. This is a powerful statement. I'm going to read it again for you because it is number four. It's kind of long, but if you take the notes, you'll be able to get it. He says there, the principle of honor. The principle of honor is that we accurately acknowledge who people are. When we are talking about our pastor, our apostle, our prophet, our teacher, our evangelist, our husband, our wives, the police officer, or the mayor, the governor, the president, when we accurately acknowledge who people are and give them the honor they deserve, being in that particular authority or office, he says, then we are able to receive the grace that comes from that office, that position, that title, by respecting and honoring who that person is in that office. He said that as a grace on their office, then we're able to receive or become partaker of the gift that's on the office. I'm a better person. I'm enriched because I recognize the office of Apostle Thompson. I recognize his position. And God has called him and dedicated him to that authority position, and when I rightfully acknowledge his position and who he is, then the grace that's on his life becomes my grace. It's added to me. And so whatever is coming off of him, whatever the benefits are, the promotions are, the spoken word are that comes from his lips, out of his spirit, from God, it becomes mine because I rightfully acknowledge the office of the apostolic or the prophetic or the pastoral or the teacher, because I operate now that way in respect and honor. Remember, this is the culture of honor. The culture of honor. That when we practice correctly and accurately recognizing, acknowledging the office, then the grace belongs to me. The grace belongs to me. And I want you to keep this in mind, because as we go through the whole book, you're going to always have to keep in mind that I'm a member of whatever church you're a member of, and the spirit that's on my leader is a spirit that flows to me from his prayer life or her prayer life, her ministering the word, or he's ministering the word of God to me. When their office is operating in my presence or even in my absence, because I recognize it, that grace is channeled back to me. I can have what they say. I can live like they live and do what they do, because I'm a partaker of their grace. I'm a partaker of their grace. The Bible is clear that says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also dwelleth in you. That even as God is, Christ is right now, exactly where he now is in his heavenly priesthood, in the realm of intercession, exactly who he is right now, that office of priesthood, that office as a redeemer, Lord, Savior, that office has a grace on it. And when I recognize Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, as my Redeemer, as my intercessor, my high priest, then that same office gift and graces right now becomes mine. That every victory that Jesus ever won while he was on this earth, every triumph over death, hell, and the grave, sickness and disease, over Satan, all of these triumphs are my victories. Even as he went through, I can go through. And even as he's overcome, I am an overcomer. And that is what you have to understand. When we walk even with men in the earth, we have that same grace, the same spirit that was on Christ, is on these offices, is on your life, is on my life. That's what we have to understand. Once we come to identity with these things, then we will understand how important it is, or who I am in Christ, who I am at my local church, who I am walking among men, that I fear no flesh. Because I am right now in this present world where Jesus is right now. I am an authority. I am a kingdom son, a kingdom daughter of God, who's been given authority and power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am a royal priesthood, chosen generation. I am a peculiar people unto the Lord. See, you have to know who you are. And so therefore I walk in kingdom dimension. I walk in kingdom dimension, just like you and I do. We are in dominion, and therefore we are not fearful. We are not intimidated by this world system and what goes on the outside of our culture, because our culture is our safe haven. Our culture is where the people who we embrace, it's the belief that we embrace. These are the people I walk with in unity, in faith, in agreement. These are the people I walk with. This is my true fellowship with the body of Christ. With the body of Christ. Why? Because we practice and we believe the same thing. We practice what we believe. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. So we have one, we have number two, we have number three, and we have number four. We have all four of them. So I want you to stay focused, because this is such a powerful teaching across these sessions that you're going to have to embrace and come to enlightenment. And by the time we get halfway, man, your fire is going to be lit. Your light is going to come on. Revelation and knowledge is going to be turning inside of you as we go through, as you enhance yourself and become a partaker of allowing the revelation and the importation of this training come into you. These teachers, apostles, and these instructors will pour so much in you in these sessions. My God, you will be armed and dangerous. You're going to be armed and dangerous. You will be a threat to the kingdom of darkness, because God has overwhelmed you with such enlightenment and revelation that you're aware of life, you're aware of life situation, and you can hear God for yourself. You can hear the voice of God for yourself. Let's move forward. This is so powerful. Let's continue. Okay, if you're in your book, you're now would be on page 26. On page 26. It says, honor creates. This is number five. This is going to be number five for you. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. We're talking about honor. How honor and what honor it does. When we walk and become sons and daughters of honor, it is going to create for us relationships, lifelong relationships. You will get to know people in the body of Christ, becoming one spirit with them. Even though we may develop fleshly relationship or human relationships where we may hang out or, you know, go places together, that will develop. But the key essence of developing lifelong relationship is having one spirit with each other, getting to know each other in our spirits, having our spirits knitted in our belief, in our practice. When we develop this type of relationship, then we're going to be able to override all fleshly error that can occur in a relationship. We'll be easily to forgive. We'll be easily to restore and to refresh, because we'll develop a spirit relationship. Paul says, know no man any further by the flesh, but by the spirit. You see, you got to get beyond flesh, because the carnality of our carnal mind, can, if I can use the word, it can trip sometimes. We can probably overlook something, miss a birthday, a holiday, or miss saying hello. Those type of things, those are human things that can happen from the fleshly realm. But just because I may be looking your direction and didn't speak to you, doesn't mean I'm hating you. Doesn't mean that we need to call our relationship off. Because you can be looking in a direction of someone and not even see them, because that is not your thought. That's not your intention. That's not what you were focusing on. So that's a flesh thing. But when we're as spiritual connected, those little bitty things doesn't even bother us. We can walk through there with understanding, with the love of God, and just walk clear through those things. But when we're connected more fleshly than we are spiritually, then those things begin to itch us or stretch us in a wrong way. You see, and that's when we become frustrated, break off ties or relationships. I don't want to speak to them no more. Delete their telephone number. And see, now we're not walking in the grace of God and the love of God any longer, because we develop more of a spirit of familiarity, fleshly relationship, than we did with a spirit relationship. But in the culture of honor, belief system, and practicing the teachings of Jesus Christ, to forgive, to love, to show charity, then we understand that we have a spiritual relationship, a bond that cannot easily be broken. We'll not allow the petty things to break us because we're developing a spiritual relationship. And this is what you want with your apostle. This is what you want your prophet, your evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You want to develop a spiritual relationship with him. I see them. I honor their office, their callings, God's grace upon them. That is what I connect with. That is what I honor. And so when he acknowledges me or doesn't acknowledge me, I am not offended because he has an office. She has an office they're operating in, and they must do what God tells them to do. So I don't hold that against them if they don't call. If someone even died in the family and pastor doesn't show up or he doesn't have a call, I'm not offended by him. He has flock to take care of that's more than just me. That does not mean he doesn't love me. It does not mean he doesn't care. It does not mean he's not sometimes not even aware of what I'm going through. If I don't contact the office and let them know that I'm going through certain things, then he won't even know it. But the idea is we are so easily offended by flesh relationship until we don't know how to honor the office properly and allow our leadership, allow the gifts to freely operate and obey God, even at the expense of them not even ever calling me. We get so easily offended. What if you become ill and have to go to the hospital? And you may spend a couple of days in there, a week in there, and pastor does not even call. He does not even come by. But yet he sends the elders. He sent leadership come. Well, that leadership represent him. They're standing in his office when they come through that door. When they give me that telephone call, when they come by and express the heart of pastor, they are standing in his place with his grace on them, and them laying their hands on me and praying for me or speaking over me is as if pastor is standing right there himself doing it. Why? Because I properly acknowledge the office. I'm not offended because I don't have the physical man standing in front of the physical woman standing in front of me, laying hands upon me. That is the office. No, the office is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and now lives in me. The same office on my pastor, my apostle, my prophet, my teacher, my evangelist is on the man or the woman that he sent to represent him, to stand in that room, to pray for me. That same anointing is on them that is on my pastor. I receive it. I receive it. And I'm grateful for my man and woman of God. See, that's the proper thing that we learn in the culture of honor. This is why we're not offended. You know, John the Baptist became offended because Jesus did not come see him in prison. But yet he told John's disciple, go tell him the blind see, the dumb walk, the dumb speak, the lame walk, and the dead is risen again. Go tell them these things. And John became offended because Jesus himself did not come and made this statement, are you the one or should we look for another? Oh my God. Offenses. And Jesus said to John, he said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. He that is not offended in me. John became offended and lost his head because he became offended. You and I will lose our fellowship and our position when we become offended because of leadership did not come and speak to me personally. He didn't shake my hand. He came down the road and didn't even speak to me, but he spoke to someone else. You can't get offended by those things. Don't allow that to become in your heart an offense or something you're holding against leadership, because now you're not able to receive the grace off of his office or his giftings and callings. Because now that's something in your heart that's blocking you from receiving. Your offenses even causing you to be dull of hearing right when he's speaking a rhema word, because you have something in your heart, you can't even hear the spoken word over your life and receive it with the spirit and the grace that it's supposed to be receiving because of an offense. There's so much here that we need to discuss, that we need to talk about and oversee that happens so that we can protect the anointing, the positioning that you and I are in following our leaders. We have to protect our positioning of who we are and why God has brought us into this connection with our leadership so that we do not violate. So we do not violate and offend the Holy Spirit and the gifts are from flowing from our leaders to us. We need to be very aware of this so that we will not be offensive, so that we are not offensive. I'm telling you, this is such a powerful revelation of why you're in this class and in this course. This is so powerful that you're not to grasp hold to this truth in this training so we can practice it, so we can protect our position in the body of Christ. See, God says, wherever I plant you, you shall flourish. So if I'm planted in a ministry upon a leader, then God says, this is where you're going to prosper. This is where you're going to increase. This is where you're going to mature. This is where you're going to become a partaker of the grace. So I must protect that place that God has placed me in. You must protect that place. And that's why we develop, practice the teachings and training of Christ so we can develop what we now know in this environment as the culture of honor. As the culture of honor. Now I want you to make sure you got those notes down. Make sure you have those questions so you can have those answers. When time you get your quiz, you're going to be ready to go. Again, number one, the ingredients in the rest of this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. The recipe for our culture is our belief and our practices. That's what's number one. Number two, the environment that we have created is called the culture of honor. It's our environment. It hosts the presence of God. Number two, the environment hosts the presence of God. Number three, life flows through a culture of honor. Life flows through honor. When we begin to flow through honor, life flows. Number four, we dealt with the principle of accurately acknowledging who people are so that the gift and grace on that office can flow to our life. Accurately acknowledging who people are. And number five, as we close our lesson for the day, is honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. Remember, promotion comes from the Lord. Until next time, I pray that you have been blessed and embracing your gifts and your calling in Christ Jesus.